What this means is that those who were watching carefully knew the address, they knew the street number, they knew the street name where things actually happened in history. It wasn't just a vague story. It wasn't just a concept. They knew it. They saw it. They could tell you where it happened. So these historical facts about Jesus' death and resurrection are critical. But to tease good housekeeping, if I could just a bit, Easter is about so much more than even these vivid pictures. Easter is about so much more. You see, these images become powerful elements of Christian doctrine or Christian teaching. So I want to give you just briefly this morning, draw your attention and have you meditate with me on two arresting images from the first Easter. And for each, I will give you a momentous truth. That is something true, something historic, something epic, something significant in the history of mankind. And then I'll give you two urgent callings that come from those momentous truths, something that is compelling, something that's relevant, and something that is urgent for all of us. So the first arresting image then is the cross of Jesus Christ. And the momentous truth that goes along with it is this: as a believer, you died with Christ. You died with Christ. So that's not only the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're a believer in him, that's your cross as well. Paul writes in the Epistle to the Romans, chapter 6, "We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we'd no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who's died has been set free from sin." Okay? That's the momentous truth of the gospel. Here's the picture. Sin is your master. You're a slave. Sin is absolutely your master. 24/7, you do work. And that doesn't mean that you're as bad as you could possibly be. It just means that you're not honoring your Creator, the one who made you. You're not living up to his standard for which he created you. There's no escape from the master of sin. Well, unless of course you died. Unless of course you died, because if you died, then you would die to that master and you would not be its slave anymore. If you died, then you're free. And Paul is telling us in that verse in Romans that when you trust Jesus, well, you die with Jesus. You die with Jesus, and you die to sin as your master. That's the momentous truth. Here's the urgent calling. You need to reckon yourself as dead. So Romans 6 verse 11 adds an important instruction to this idea. It says there in 6:11, "So you must also, consider yourself dead to sin and alive in Christ Jesus." All right? Careful now. You're so used to the 24/7 grind. Wake up, serve sin master, come home, go to bed, repeat. You're so used to serving sin as a master that you might get up as a free man or a free woman in Christ Jesus and just trot off to work. Go off and do the thing you're so used to doing. So Paul writes in chapter 6, he says, now it's important that you have died with Christ, but even after that, you've got to reckon yourself dead. You've got to remember it. Over and over, oh yeah, that's right. I'm dead to sin. I'm alive to Jesus, right? You're free, but you need to reckon yourself dead. Here's the deal. You believe it's true. Jesus died on the cross and you died with him. Live like it. Serve no other master but Jesus Christ. Die on this hill. Die on this hill. Second arresting image, of course, is that tomb. That tomb, empty tomb, stone conspicuously rolled away. And the momentous truth that's associated with that element is that just like you've died with Christ, you've also been raised with Jesus Christ. So Romans again, chapter 6, we were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. So here's a momentous truth, that this life is not just something that you're going to get one day. It's not something that you wait for all of your years and then one day, like Grace Royston, wake up in the presence of the Lord Jesus. You walk in resurrection life even now, right? You're walking in this new resurrection life. So the second arresting image is the tomb. The momentous truth is that not only have you died with Christ, you've been raised with Christ, and the urgent calling that goes along with that text is this: seek the things that are above. Since you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above. From Colossians chapter 3, we learn, if then you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above. Seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not things that are on the earth, because you have been raised to new things. The resurrection life becomes evident in you as your focus shifts, according to Colossians. Instead of living only for earthly priorities, we begin orienting our lives toward Christ and his kingdom. So you start to see his life working out in you, and our ambitions change. Our loves change. Our priorities change. We begin to care more about holiness than approval. We begin to care more about eternal things than temporary success. We begin to care more about Jesus Christ even than ourselves, because we're living a new life, a resurrection life in Jesus Christ. Again, let me say, you believe that it's true. Jesus lives and is the giver of life. Live like it. Live like it. Make Jesus' priorities your own and leave worldly desires behind. I'm asking you this morning not only to die on this hill, but I'm asking you to rise from that tomb. Rise from that tomb where all of the earthly values are what are your priorities and your desires. Rise from that tomb and live a resurrection kind of life. Now, for those who already belong to Christ, this message, of course, is a call to remember your Easter identity. This is who you are. This is who you are. You are died with Christ, and you are risen with Christ. You're not a slave to sin anymore. You're not defined by your past. You're someone who has died and risen. So stand on the hill of the cross and live in the power of the resurrection. But if you will permit me, I've got one more comment, because I see faces that I don't know, people I don't know here very well. And if you've never trusted Jesus Christ before, this is your invitation, okay? I'm not going to call you forward. I'm not going to put anybody, make you uncomfortable. But the momentous truth and the urgent call, it's probably not your message. Your message today is one like this: consider Jesus Christ. Very, very simple. Consider Jesus Christ. You see, I'm afraid that you might hear the message that I gave and just and think the standard Christian mindset, Christian, that's just a set of moral teachings. That's what it means to be a Christian. And I want to assure you that that's not it at all. And so I want to invite you today, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ, to maybe do some research, and for sure to do some reflection. Maybe do some research and for sure to do some reflection. You see, the heart of Christianity is not merely moral teachings. It's a historical claim. The claim is that Jesus was crucified, that he was buried, and that on the third day he did indeed rise from the dead. The earliest Christians staked everything on that claim. They proclaimed it publicly. They suffered for it, and many died rather than deny it. The question that the resurrection raises is unavoidable. If Jesus truly rose from the dead, there's the research part. If it's true, if Jesus truly did rise from the dead, who must he be? Who must this Jesus be if he truly rose from the dead? During his life, Jesus made extraordinary claims. He claimed that he could forgive sins, that he was the Son of God, that he would come again to judge the world, and that eternal life was found in him. And if the resurrection really happened, then those claims can't be ignored. If it really happened, we better listen. And that's why I invite you to research if you need to, but for sure do some reflection. These things demand a response. If you have never trusted Jesus Christ, please consider the evidence of the resurrection and what it means about who Jesus claimed to be. You've got a decision to make. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, today we're gathered here to celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That event that took place so many years ago, that shook the earth and continues to shake the earth, is the focus of our attention. It's the focus of our hope. Heavenly Father, there have been many spiritual leaders down through the ages, some who have proclaimed good, profitable, helpful things, some who have deliberately led people astray. All of them have died, and none of them came back from the dead, but this one, Jesus Christ, said he would rise again, and the historical evidence points to the fact that it's true. So today, we're taking a reasonable step of faith in saying, if indeed he rose from the dead, then I can trust his promises. And if he says that he's the way, the truth, and the life, and then he proves it, then I'm going to stake my life on that, and I'm going to die on this hill. I'm going to trust that Jesus Christ paid the penalty for my sin, and that as he rose from the dead, he gave evidence that that payment was accepted, and that he can now offer eternal life. And by faith, I simply believe it. I simply believe it. Heavenly Father, we ask that these things would grow more and more in our minds, that these images of Easter, that rugged cross on a hill, that empty tomb, I pray that they would become powerful images, and more than that, a compelling force in our lives. Those of us who have trusted Christ, that we would die to sin and live forevermore unto the glory of Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.